Live here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer and Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. And as always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions about the new association bill. So give us a call right here in our studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking the Email the Show tab.
And even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our free seminars like the one we had this week at the Skolnick Center. You can see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites. And you can automatically link to our Facebook page and join in our discussions about the show, or start your own discussion board and get feedback from everybody else.
And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
And finally, of course, if you would like to call our law firm, Glazer & Associates, directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call us at 877, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, that's 877, the number 4, Condo Craze. And the law firm's website address is condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com.
Well, last week we had Sean Virtue on the show as our guest, explaining the other side of the story in regards to the new insurance laws and how not only he, but the governor and insurance commissioner believe that insurance companies are about to begin competing for your business here in South Florida. But I understand that this week the governor signed a whole host of new condo and HOA laws into effect that may or may not turn out to be a help to our listeners.
That's right, Karen. Governor Scott signed House Bill 1995 into a law this week. I think that's 1195, actually, this week. And to help us review what it means to the associations that we live in, we have a great guest on the show today. That's Jan Bergman, who's the president of Cyber Citizens for Justice, a very large grassroots organization here in Florida, which was founded in 2000. The group advocates for owners' rights through education and legislative reform, and their goal, as you can see on their website, is fairness in community associations. Jan was a member of Governor Jeb Bush's HOA task force in 2003 and 2004, and the recommendations of that task force resulted in the large community association bill that passed in 2004 with many, many reforms. And for more information about Cyber Citizens for Justice, you can visit their website at www.ccfj.net. Welcome, Jan, and thanks for joining us on the show today. How about telling us a little bit about CCFJ?
Thank you, Eric, and thank you for the kind introduction. We are trying to represent the owner's point of view, unlike Ken and Call, the two lobbying groups run by the two big law firms. Let's never forget, the owners are suffering from the shortcomings of the system and the shortcomings of the new bill. Nobody else. But before getting to the new bill, I would like to make a little remark to last week's guest. Sean definitely praised the new bill. He is an insurance guy. I have a little different opinion, and I think this bill will hurt us and will get even more problems with higher property insurance premiums. Well, and that will make Florida even less attractive for any folks considering to move here. So much said for Senate Bill 408. Let's get to the new one.
Well, understood. Again, our goal here on the show, however, is to promote both sides of the issues and perhaps let our listeners decide who's right and who's wrong. But before we start really reviewing the specifics of the new laws that the governor signed, looking at the laws that were not only passed this year but also last year, And I got to tell you, at least to me, it seems as if the Florida legislature is giving boards more and more power to sue unit owners for being delinquent and really has no problem letting boards and owners basically kill each other, because in all candor, it's a lot easier to have the boards and owners fight with each other than it is for the legislators themselves to fight with the banks and get them to simply pay more money to the associations when they foreclose on a unit or force them to escrow for association assessments or have them start paying assessments when they initially file the foreclosure action. At least to me, what the legislature is doing is really giving us a perfect example of divide and conquer by and between the unit owners that live in these associations.
Well, you're definitely correct. Both bills, last year's S-1196 and this year's H-1195, do absolutely nothing but pit owners against owners, with absolutely no solution to the remedy the financial misery in many associations caused by unpaid dues and or foreclosure.
Yeah, and I think we're certainly in agreement on that. But there was always some confusion about whether or not, I guess, you know, if we're going to start with perhaps one of the first new laws and at least one of the provisions that a lot of associations are really in favor of, however, there was always some confusion about whether or not a condo or HOA can take all of the rent from the tenant of a delinquent owner, or were they just allowed to take the amount of the rent that actually equaled the monthly condo or HOA assessment. Now the new law gets changed, and the association has the right to ask for the full amount of the rent. And while this may sound great for associations, in your experience really dealing with hundreds of associations from around the state, has this statute helped many associations?
Definitely not. From what I have seen and heard, most of the money actually collected went into the pockets of the attorneys, not the association's coffers. And that is really where the money is desperately needed.
Well, I got to tell you, I can tell you this, and we've held numerous seminars, and every one of our Condo Craze board certification seminars, including a great one this week, by the way, that we did on Friday at the Skolnick Center in Pompano Beach for customers of Smith, Watson, Parker. Really, truly a great event. I make sure to ask the audience, which is overwhelmingly comprised of board members all the time, if this rent statute has really helped them collect rent. And almost every time, I give you my word on this, not a single association board member raises their hand. Often, they tell us that the tenant simply gets scared, that they're in the middle of some court fight that they don't want to be dragged into, and they just decide to get out of Dodge and leave town. So I don't know really what the statute, you know, in effect solved.
Well, honestly, I can't blame the renters, because they are being dragged into a war between association and landlord, a war where they can only lose, and they will, in the end, get kicked out anyway.
Right. Well, we know that, we know that the statute is designed to protect them, and the statute gives them rights to stay as long as they continue to pay the rent. But the truth is, they're not happy about being involved in the middle of this battle. And rather than stay, they just think it's a lot easier to just walk out the door.
Yeah, you know, that's not the only thing. The statute's also going to come under attack where the fact that it violates, you know, constitutional rights. You know, the fact of the matter is, you're breaching the rights of the landlord to collect his rent without even giving the landlord a hearing. I mean, you know, nobody's in favor of, you know, people that are delinquent getting away with collecting rent for free, but I don't think it's such an emergency that we need to start violating the Constitution to, you know, get the extra money.
Yeah, I think Scott makes a great point. The bottom line is, you know, as we've said before on the show, the association can make a mistake, management companies make mistakes, and heaven forbid, even lawyers make mistakes. Yes, it's possible. It's possible, you know, about unit owners not owing money or owing money. And perhaps before an owner has their rent taken away, maybe they should be entitled to some sort of due process first. And again, the federal courts are going to decide that very issue.
Well, there is already a lawsuit filed in federal court, PCR Holdings versus the Vince West Condominium Association. And honestly, I'm more than ever convinced that this provision will be stricken as unconstitutional. Something I predicted at a town hall meeting in Kendall before the start of the 2010 legislative session where this provision was introduced, meaning another one of the highly praised improvements bites the dust.
Right, exactly.
H 1195 5 is just another cop-out of the legislators trying to avoid to make much-needed changes. I headline my detailed interpretation of the bill, the highlights, or actually lowlights of H 1195, which can be found at our website at www.ccfj.net.
That's, again, that's www.ccfj.net. And by the way, to our listeners, if you want to see a breakdown of the new laws that are going to take effect on July 1st, you can visit our law firm's website as well. Go to condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. And we put a pretty decent summary on the front page that you can click on and see what's about to change. Let's do this, Jan. The phones are absolutely stacked. And again, what we'd like to do is take calls related to this bill and the new changes in the law. So please, if we can, everybody, we'd love to take your calls, but let's try to keep it limited to the topic at hand, which is the changes to the new laws. And Jan and myself and Scott and Karen, we will love to answer your questions. So let's take our first break. We'll take your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585, and we'll be back right after this.
HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We have our guest as well, Jan Bergman, president of Cyber Citizens for Justice, on the phone. And we are taking your phone calls as well. We are stacked up. Sir, who would you like to take first?
How about we go to Steve in Tamarack? How are you, Steve? You there?
Hello.
How are you?
Great. And yourself?
How can we help you, Steve?
Well, my condo seems to be employing people that are of questionable reputation and a criminal background. And we had a break-in for the first time in 15 years I've been here last week after this painter has been here for 3 weeks. And I think this guy used one of the vacant apartments to just store paint as he was allowed to. But he's taken over. He's moved in. He's put a junker trunk truck in the garage. It's been sitting there for a week. And this is the second time it's happened with people that we employ here. They seem to come in and see opportunity and take over and take advantage of us.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I really wanted to stick to the issue at hand. But number two, I'd be careful as to what unit is this person actually occupying. Is it a unit that's actually owned by the condominium association, or is it simply a unit that's in foreclosure? Because if it's not a unit owned by the condominium association that they already took back by way of foreclosure, better make sure nobody winds up going into that unit, because until the association owns it, you are trespassing. Okay, but Steve,
how do you find out what the status of the unit is?
You can do that a couple of different ways. An easy way, perhaps, would go to bcpa.net. If it's a Broward property and I see you're calling from Tamarack, type in the address, and if it's up to date, that should be able to tell you who the owner is. Okay, Steve, but we got to get back to Jan Bergman, our guest on the show. Thanks, thanks again for joining us, Jan.
Well, it's good to be there, and we hope to help people understand what the new bill really does.
Well, then let's keep going, because I would guess that one of the more common complaints that you have always received, I guess, from owners around the state is that board members sometimes, believe it or not, meet in private, and they meet outside of the view of the residents. Never, never, and in violation of the notice provisions of Florida Statute 718. But under this new law, the board now has a legal reason to meet outside of the presence of the unit owners, and that is if the board is discussing personnel matters, whatever personnel matters mean. Now, it used to mean the board can basically just have a private meeting without the unit owners being there if they were meeting with their attorney to discuss attorney-client privileged communications. But now we have this other exception for personnel matters. And what's your take on whether or not this is a good thing for a condo association?
Well, it definitely is not. It just offers bad boards another excuse to hold meetings behind closed doors. I always wonder who comes up with these provisions that create even more problems in our communities.
Well, at least for me, the term personnel matters is pretty vague, because many associations have no personnel at all, as the workers are actually employees of the management company. So does this statute apply if the boards want to fire the management company? Can they meet in private? What about if they want to fire any other vendor, like the landscape company, or, you know, heaven forbid, the association's law firm? Can they meet in private without the unit owners being there when the issue is discussed? Is that considered a personnel matter?
Well, I think the whole thing is kind of bogus. You know, in former times, minimum the attorney had to be present to hold a meeting behind closed doors. Now it's, yeah, open game for everybody, and it sure isn't the meaning of this new provision, but it will be abused, like everybody predicts, and you're correct, and it definitely is one of the less good provisions in this bill.
All right, well, let's move on to yet another law. Delinquent board members were prohibited from running for the board if they were 90 days delinquent. But there was always some confusion as to whether or not they can be elected to the board if on the night of the election they actually came current, you know, were now paid in full. But now the law has changed, and it says you can't even run for the board if you're 90 days delinquent in the payment of any monies to the association. What's your take on the new law? Is it going to help put more money in the association's hands? Or do deadbeat owners usually not care one way or the other about getting elected?
Well, first of all, it will definitely get not more money in the coffers. I mean, who pays? In my opinion, it's just, and the vague wording is at fault here, it's another way to keep unwanted owners off the board. We heard that during the meetings of the HOA task force, because the fine issue is as well unpaid. A sitting board doesn't want a certain owner to serve on the board, so they just fine him for any kind of stupid thing they can find or make it up. Here comes the blackmail. Either you pay the unjust $1,000 fine or you can't run for the board. Mm. How much more dictatorial powers can you give board members? Allow them to send disgruntled owners to Siberia?
Well, I tell you, I think if you ask the legislature to actually pass that, you know, allow delinquent owners to be sent to Siberia, they may give us that at this point rather than stand up to the banks and, you know, take on the banks themselves, because it's simply easier to send that owner to Siberia than take on the banks. But
right, but I don't think the Russians will be really happy about getting all these people there.
They have their own form of condominium / communism up there, don't they?
Right. Yeah, but, you know, that's Russia. Last I heard, this is still the United States of America, minimum, supposedly Florida is part of it.
Right. Well, unit owners have always been provided the protection under Florida condominium and HOA laws, from ensuring that certain personal information like phone numbers, fax numbers, and email addresses were protected from disclosure to other unit owners by the association. And I know there was an article about this in the Sun Sentinel over the last few days. There's some confusion about all this. But now the statute has been amended to allow unit owners to kind of waive this protection, and they can consent in writing to disclosure of only this information. That's what the article didn't make clear. We're talking specifically about fax numbers, phone numbers, and email addresses. Now unit owners can waive their right to privacy in this regard. And the primary purpose of the amendment was to allow communities the ability to, let's say, publish a community directory or a community phone book. You know, I would guess it certainly seems like an owner-friendly provision. Would you agree?
Well, I agree in a way. Do you know how many sitting boards fight tooth and nail to avoid giving owners, especially candidates opposing the sitting board, the membership roster? And then add the fact that a waiver is needed, meaning some boards will not even ask for this waiver. Good communities always had a community directory, no matter the wording of the law.
Right.
This is just another feel-good measure.
Right. I'll tell you what, we got about 2 minutes before we go to the end of the hour, end of the half-hour break. How about we take Dan? I see Dan is calling in with an issue regarding something that's always troubled you, and that is the fining process. How about it, Dan? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you? How can we help you?
Good. Yeah, we have a fine that was placed on us, and the I guess like the 28th is going to be like the end of 45 days.
Okay.
And we've been going back and forth with the attorney's office, and I guess they in touch. Like, we're providing evidence. They're saying that, like, we didn't pay a homeowners association fee, and, like, we provided, like, two different checks that the management company keeps saying, oh, it's not that check, it's not that check. And it just keeps, like, it seems like it's going on and on. But in the meantime, what we're trying to do while we're providing evidence of it, we wanted to try to work out, what, like, some type of payment plan, because, like, the fine is kind of hefty, and we...
When you say fine, you're probably talking about collection costs, right? But here's what we'll do.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to address this after the break, because this actually came up in the Palm Beach Post today where we're quoted. But let's take our break. We're taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We're here with Jan Bergman, and we'd like to get your calls related to the new statutory amendments that become effective in a few days on July 1st, okay? We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We are taking your phone calls on the show, 877-850-8585. Our guest on the show today is Jan Bergman. He's the president of Cyber Citizens for Justice. And we're going to answer Dan's question from Sunrise first before we get back to
right.
Jan.
Right. Dan basically called in and was complaining that he at least tried to make a payment plan. At least that's the way I understood his call. He tried to make a payment plan and come current with the association, yet it seems as for every step forward, he was taking two steps back. And for really a great article about an association in Palm Beach County where this happened to specific unit owners there, over $75, no less. Everybody should take a look at the Palm Beach Post. Again, we're quoted in that paper today. And I can tell you it's a story about someone who wound up owing $75, and instead of paying the final $75, or should I say instead of the association perhaps waiting for the final payment of the $75, the association wound up filing a foreclosure action over the $75, and these poor unit owners, instead of owing $75, they now owe something like 20 times at $75.
Oh, no.
So if it's difficult to pay $75, what, you know, what makes the association think that they're going to be able to pay, you know, $1,500 or more? You know, now you've really created a problem. But you never know. An association that does that, a judge might wind up creating a problem for them, especially if the unit owners were trying in their, you know, in with all they can to come up with a payment plan, and those unit owners are saying that they were ignored. So we will see what happens. But again, you know, I urge you, for those unit owners who get, you know, warning letters in the mail and things like that, do not ignore them, because a little matter,
bigger.
Yeah, a little matter can run into a very costly and expensive matter if it's ignored. You know, most law firms out there, I think, will, in fact, bend over backwards to try to make a payment plan for you. And as long as you stick to it, you will avoid foreclosure and crazy expensive costs. But again, don't ignore it. But how about we get back to Jan? And I understand, Karen, you
yes.
had a question for Jan.
I have an easy one, Jan. Finally, we have a law that prohibits felons from serving on an HOA board. I can't believe
it,
because
it
was like that on condos. Now, I know that you're an avid listener to the show, and I know that you were listening when Senator Fasano was our guest a few weeks ago. And as you know, we asked him why it is so difficult to get legislation passed that affects homeowner associations. And basically, his answer was that there's so many of them. That enraged some of our listeners. What is your response?
Well, to be very honest, and with all due respect, this is one of the most stupid explanations I've ever heard.
Yeah, but how do you really feel?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, well, right. But, you know, I'm hearing this excuse since 2002, when it was first discussed in front of a House committee in Tallahassee. At that time, it was Pete Dunbar, the lobbyist, who supplied Senator Fasano with all these bad bills. It's really to find out with the use of the corporate annual business report, which every corporation has to file each year. Within a year, you have complete detailed result. But our legislators don't really want to know. It would take away their stupid excuse for not regulating mandatory HOAs in Florida. And according to OPAGA, the Senate watchdog, there are about 2.5 million homes in these HOAs in Florida.
So
isn't that reason enough to regulate them?
You would think. I certainly would agree that, you know, because there are so many, that probably is there all the more reason why there needs to be some regulation, not less regulation. And I guess, you know, you're proposing perhaps a simple solution just on the annual report each year. Check a box if you're an HOA, and if you're an HOA, just tell us how many units are in the HOA. Shouldn't be that big of a deal. But, you know, on to a subject that, again, is very near and dear to my heart. As you know, I now teach the board certification course.
No.
I teach the board certification course, and in fact, I was the first attorney in the state of Florida to have a course approved by the DBPR. And now we've certified about 1,300 Florida residents to serve as board members in Florida. And Jan, I can honestly tell you that those who attend the course, they not only love the course, but they're actually happy that they attended and that they learned something and they learned the law. But unfortunately, the class isn't mandatory, and it doesn't apply to HOA board members. I'm asking you if you would like to see HOA board members also become certified. And, you know, what are your constituents or members saying about condo and HOA education in this regard?
Well, there's a big yes, because don't forget, the condo education part was brought up by us in a bill which was filed by Julio Robina. We wanted these boards to be educated, and not only condo boards, but as well HOA boards.
Right.
Because lots of money is wasted annually because these board members are plainly blue-eyed. They have no business experience. They have no clue what they're doing. I'm talking not about all of them. But, you know, I'm not even talking here about the bad board members. I'm talking about the good board members who mean well but are totally incompetent, meaning they don't know the laws.
Right.
You know, imagine an HOA board president was proudly telling me that he was serving since more than 10 years as the president of his HOA. But then, when I mentioned Florida Statute 720, he asked me, what's that?
Really?
You know,
yeah,
that sounds
scary.
Like Saturday Night Live or
right.
something like that,
right.
You know. And you know we have, since many, many years, lobbied for mandatory education of board members for all kinds of community associations. Don't forget, the welfare of many home and condo owners is at stake, and lots of money is at stake. Shouldn't they have some knowledge and to deal with these issues?
I completely
and,
agree.
You know,
yeah, I can
incompetence
tell you
can be a lot more costly to the neighbors as scams, kickbacks, and embezzlement altogether.
Absolutely, and I can tell you that we have, even though it's a condo board certification course, we have HOA board members attend all the time. And I got to tell you, I think Karen will tell you too, and Scott will tell you too, when they, at the end of the seminar, they can't believe that this type of a course isn't really offered or isn't really mandated for HOA board members. It makes no sense that it's not. You know, why should condo board members be required, but HOA board members shouldn't be? But how about we take another call? How about we go to Lori from Sunrise, who was kind enough to be holding a long time. Are you there, Lori? Lori, you still with us?
Hello?
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay, how can we help you?
Well, I have a question regarding the authority of the board members, specifically. Do they have the authority to assume titles, personal titles to the units in the condo for foreclosed units without disclosing to the association members?
Does condo board members have a right to acquire units in their own name? Well,
in their own name, right.
If units go to a foreclosure sale, for example, right? A foreclosure sale gets published, right? Before it actually goes to a sale, it gets published in a newspaper. You know, notice is actually given to the community or to the world at large out there, and a condo board member is allowed to bid on those units like anybody else. Now, if I'm a member of the condo board, if I'm actually serving on a board, and I know this is going to happen, you know, I'd want to make sure that the condo association itself is not interested in purchasing the unit. I'd feel better if I was on the board, making sure that it's disclosed and that the association itself is not interested, because, you know, there could be an argument that if you got it for yourself without allowing the association the opportunity to get the same opportunity you did, it might be what's called usurping a corporate opportunity, and you could wind up, you know, getting in trouble. But generally speaking, no, there's nothing in the law that would prohibit an owner from, or even a board member, from going to a sale and bidding on a unit. Okay? But again, see, Giannis, try as we might, it's often difficult to stick to the topic at hand. Our guests, you know, have so many questions that they wait all week for, and we appreciate that. You know, we admire it. But sometimes we just want to stick to the topic, and it's oftentimes a difficult task, but hang in there. But here's a new law that I predict is also going to be challenged and declared unconstitutional in at least some associations in our state. And this new law states that if a condo or HOA forecloses and takes title to a unit, the association isn't responsible for any fees that may be owed to the master association. Now, mark my words, a lawsuit will be filed by a master association challenging the constitutionality of this statute as being an impairment of their contract. Just wait and see.
Well, that's a sure bet. And it will be challenged at the expense of the still-paying owners, who will pay all the legal fees, no matter the outcome. You know, considering that quite a few of our legislators are attorneys, I'm sometimes wondering if they're passing these weird bills on purpose, just to increase the business for the law firms, if they're not already busy enough. Look at the budgets of some of our community associations, and you know where much of the money goes.
Yeah, but let's not try to attack lawyers on the air. I hate that. You know, I got to tell you, just kidding. Just kidding. Let's go to our final break of the hour, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer and Associates. And we're taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. On the phone, we've had all hour our guest, Jan Bergman. He's the president of Cyber Citizens for Justice.
You know, one of the new laws.
Well, you know what? Did we lose Jan? Is Jan there?
Oh. I think we lost Jan.
All right. How about we wait 30 seconds to see if Jan is back on the line? I see we have someone calling in on line 7. Is that Jan? Awkward. Awkward pause, huh? Yes, it is. All right. Jan is back with us. All
right. Hi, Jan.
Not that awkward.
What?
All right.
What happened,
Jan? All right.
The communication systems didn't work.
I was thinking maybe you got served by some condo attorney with a knock on the door with a lawsuit or something like that. No? Okay, never mind. All right, how about...
I have guard cats. They watch out for me.
Scott was saying...
I think one of the new laws that was just recently passed is to do with condos entering into bulk contracts with cable services, even if the governing documents of the condo don't allow it. And we know of a few associations that have actually tried to cancel and get out of their bulk contracts, but there are so many non-paying owners that, you know... they can't afford the bill each month, and now they're going to be allowed to, enter into contracts without even having, it contemplated in their documents.
Yeah.
What does everybody think about that?
Well, I think we have seen that bull contracts are the source of much evil, with owners complaining about having to pay for their neighbors that stopped paying dues. So now we see more bull contracts being allowed for communication services. Despite all the bad press, our esteemed legislators added another provision allowing bulk contracts. But, you know, honestly, either legislators plainly don't listen, or some lobbyists must have forked over lots of money to get this provision added to this bill. I'm sure it contradicts all common sense.
You know, I guess cutting to the chase, here's my take on this year's legislative session. You know, here we are week in and week out, you know, for years now, I guess, actually, crying and screaming about how long it takes foreclosure cases to wind its way through the court system and how millions of residents and community associations are suffering as a result and how our judges and our court system are overburdened with all these foreclosures. And yet there's not a single proposal by your legislature yet again this year to fix a broken foreclosure system and to really help associations foreclose faster and get deadbeats out sooner or really make the banks pay more money, even though the banks were all bailed out with your money. And again, the Florida legislature would rather do silly things like prevent people from running for the board or maybe prevent an unemployed person from using the pool, rather than force the banks to start and finish a foreclosure within a year or be forced to start paying the condo assessments after that time. And, you know, remember, everybody, statistics are now showing that unemployment is now the leading cause of delinquencies. It's not just about investors anymore who try to make a quick buck. So ask yourself, how would your association benefit more, by forcing banks to pay assessments if they don't complete their foreclosure within a year? Or by making delinquent owners put their assessments in the court registry during a foreclosure? How about that? Or by spending more money evicting the tenant of a deadbeat owner? Is that really going to put money in your pockets? Again, all these statutes have done is pass the buck to the boards who can now spend all kinds of money suing everybody. And the goal of the Florida legislature is obviously so far to get the owners to fight with each other, because it takes away pressure from them to fight with the banks. Again, to me, it's clearly a divide-and-conquer attitude. Not one of these measures passed this week or the past 2 years guarantees the associations any money whatsoever. It's a sham, period. That's my
Eric,
take, Yana.
You said it. You said it. Anybody who praises this bill as a great step in the right direction must either have ulterior motives or tries to cover up their failure to achieve some real legislative solutions. This bill is more or less a bad joke at the expense of the owners, who will be forced to pay the bill for the total failure of the Florida legislature to create solutions that help. Because feel-good solutions don't pay bills.
I agree. And, you know, I stand up at these seminars, you know, and you face elderly people and you tell them that, yeah, people who don't pay now can't use the pool. And they look at you like, sir, I'm 85 years old. What do you expect me to do, dive into the pool and pull the non-paying owner out? You know, what does it mean to me that really? And I, you know what I tell them? I tell them, no, don't get involved. Don't wind up getting into a fist fight, getting cursed out, or having your, you know, your wife insulted because someone isn't paying their condo assessments. And the police aren't going to get involved. The security company isn't going to get involved. And don't wind, again, don't wind up getting shot, yelled at, or screamed at yourself. It's all silly stuff. And again, what it does is it makes the boards fight with their unit owners because the Florida legislatures don't take on the real fight that needs to be fought. Again, at least that's the way I see it. But, Jan, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with Cyber Citizens for Justice and become a member, and how they can get your weekly updates on all these association law issues that we talk about week in and week out.
Well, easy going if you have a computer. Go to our website at www.ccfj.net. Being Caesar, Caesar, Frank, and Joe.net. Take a look at what we're trying to do and join our email list. If you like what you're seeing and reading, join CCFJ as a member. Our membership fees are annually only $20.
As a matter of fact, Jan, I received an email actually just before the show wanting to know if, you know, generally, who are the members of CCFJ? Is it funded by any political action committees or anything like that, you know? Or is it just members who want to get some information from around the state?
No, we finance ourselves only from the $20 annual fees. Our members are mostly homeowners or condo owners. And we don't get grants or any money from political entities or whatever. Our $20 pay our cost, because most of our people, or let's say all of our people, actually work as volunteers for free.
Fantastic. Well, again, Jan, I want to thank you very much for being a guest on the show today and helping to educate our listeners about the new laws that become effective in just a few days.
Well, Eric, thank you for having me as a guest on your very educational show. This talk show is really a great service for everybody living in the community association in Florida. And in the name of many of Florida owners, I would like to thank you for supplying this great service week for week. It really is a very informative talk show. Please keep up the great work.
Thank you very much, Jan, and we certainly will week in and week out. To everybody listening out there, thanks for tuning in to another week of Condo Craze and HOAs, and we will see you again the same time next week. If we couldn't get to your call today, sincerely apologize, okay? But we'll take it next week. Thanks again.
Thank you.